You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. This is On The Money for this Tuesday, the 29th of September 2020. Here from the SBS newsroom, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, with work and study from home becoming more than just a temporary thing, how are internet speeds holding up? We'll speak with the ACCC Chair, Rod Sims. But first, to the budget, which will be handed down on October the 6th. That is next Tuesday. The Commonwealth Bank said today it expects underlying cash deficit of around $220 billion, which is about 11.3% of GDP. What will be in the budget will determine the economic road to recovery. And we heard from financial services company EY today, which did some modelling on the unemployment rate relating to the budget. It says the Reserve Bank of Australia's baseline for the unemployment rate is for it to peak at 10% late this year and then fall to about 7% by the end of 2022. But if the government spends $60 billion over 2 years, that unemployment rate will fall to 6% as opposed to the RBA's baseline rate of 7%. But policy options to achieve that would need to include three things predominantly: $250 fortnightly increase to the job seeker rate, $40 billion on government investments like infrastructure, along with income tax cuts. So for more, I spoke earlier with Joe Masters, the chief economist at EY. Joe, what's the key to economic recovery?
So there's a few parts to that. The first one is we need the government to support in the initial phase while we still have health-related restrictions in the economy. The second piece, and the bit that will give us sustainable growth, though, is getting the private sector back on its feet. That's households out there spending and businesses investing, growing, and importantly, hiring.
The government's already provided some massive amounts of stimulus, like JobKeeper, and even allowed many people to have access to early super. Have they been successful?
Absolutely. Despite the fact we're in a recession, we saw household disposable income rise over 8% in the second quarter. Now, not all of that got spent in the economy, so that's an issue, but it's absolutely cushioned incomes for households and also cushioned businesses.
Now, speaking of incomes, though, you're calling what we're going to see an income cliff because a lot of these stimulatory measures are going to come to an end. So can you explain that?
That's exactly right. We've had a range of measures that have supported household income despite higher unemployment and weak wage growth. What we're seeing, though, is those policies either coming to an end or being tapered. Now, what that means in the December quarter, household income will be $23 billion less than it was in the September quarter.
So what do you think needs to be done and how will it affect employment?
So we need to do two things. We need to ease that fiscal cliff. So we're not suggesting that households can rely on government payouts forever, but we don't want to have such a sharp withdrawal. So that means things like extending the additional job seeker payment rather than returning it back to the new start rate, and also perhaps a policy like a third $750 payment to welfare recipients, and also bringing forward personal income tax. That will help ease that cliff. But we also need to do measures that will boost demand or economic activity, and that's what will create jobs. And our modelling found that infrastructure spending is actually incredibly effective at creating jobs in the economy, not just directly, but up and down the value chain.
Okay, the overall budget bottom line, what are you expecting?
So it's really hard to pinpoint numbers at the moment. There's a lot of moving parts, both around policy and the underlying economy. The consensus is looking like a $200 billion deficit for the 2020-21 financial year, and something about half that for the following year.
And on the same day as the federal budget, we've got the RBA meeting. What are you expecting? Are you expecting a cut? Will it be delayed until November, or will there need to be a cut?
I think we will see further easing from the Reserve Bank, but I'm not sure about doing it on budget day. And I think it's really less about the actual interest rate and more about the other unconventional measures that they can use, things like extending that yield curve control further out the yield curve and bringing down longer-term interest rates.
Joe Masters there from EY. Well, the Australian share market did open stronger today, but lost its gains to finish pretty much flat. The S&P ASX 200 at 5952. That's down 0.2 points. The banks were weaker across the board. Westpac down by 1.3%. BHP also lost ground, off by about 0.7. Some travel stocks did well amid talk of a trans-Tasman bubble. Sydney Airport up by 2.2%, Qantas 2.2% firmer also, and tech stocks did well, Afterpay up by 2.5%. For more, I spoke earlier with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. Adam, the market's declined from its opening high. Why? And are investors just waiting for this US presidential debate?
Look, certainly. I think this US debate is going to sway investors one way or another. I think really that at the end of the day, our markets are looking for that election, which is November the 3rd.
Bank of Queensland updated the market today and it wasn't necessarily good.
Well, regionals, it's a really tough business. Regionals, they're a price taker, not a price maker. And certainly with the regionals, with the home loans, the way they're going at the moment, Bank of Queensland provisionings for a little bit worse than what's going on.
And we spoke about A2 Milk yesterday following its profit warning, but its shares continue to fall today.
I was surprised at how much the Chinese investor actually, the people that come over and fill their, their suitcases with all of that, formula milk. I honestly think that I was a little bit of surprise at how much that actually means to the bottom line of A2 Milk.
Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners. Well, NBN speeds are holding up well despite unprecedented demands. That's according to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. Why and what can consumers do to make sure that they are on the right plans? For that and more, Sarah Dowling spoke with the ACCC Chair, Rod Sims.
Rod, today's quarterly NBN report is the first to really factor in the effects of COVID-19 in detail. What's it shown?
It's shown that the NBN has held up very well, that even though there's massive additional increase in fixed line data usage, that speeds have been 83 to 90% of what people signed up for, which is pretty good. It means you're getting very close to what you expected and very high speed. So we're very pleased with that.
So overall, have download and speeds actually improved compared to the last report?
Yes, download speeds have actually improved a bit, which is quite amazing given the massive increase in household usage of high-speed internet.
So looking forward, do you expect these download speeds to continue?
Yeah, we expect the internet speeds to continue to hold up very well through this crisis. NBN is planning to remove that 40% extra capacity at no charge at the end of November, but of course we may find more people are back at work by then, so it's a tricky bit of calculus to do, but I think as I say, we've been very fortunate to have high speed internet available just as this crisis has hit us, and that's very good news. We should all be very pleased with that.
And I noticed you've expanded the streaming tests. So what did that look at?
That was interesting. What we're trying to do is indicate to people how much capacity do you actually need. So even a 12-1 service will provide high-definition streaming. A 25 megabits per second will give you 2 or 3 streaming services and at least one, an ultra high definition. And of course, as you get to 50 and 100, you're getting even more than that. So we're really just saying to people, just think carefully about what you need before you spend more. You may be buying 100 megabits per second service when you actually would be quite happy with 50. But I think it also indicates that speeds of 25 megabits per second, 50 megabits per second, and 100 megabits per second are really quite fast. They do allow you to do a very large number of things.
Sarah Dowling there speaking with the chair of the ACCC, Rod Sims. Before I go, the ACCC also today issued an urgent safety warning on about 6,000 Toyota Corollas which has been added to the Takata airbag recall, and they are for those models made between mid-year 2003 to 2005 because they affect the passenger side of the airbag. So consumers with concerns can visit the ismyairbagsafe.com.au website for more information. So that's ismyairbagsafe, all one word, .com.au. Our website for more information. That is On the Money for this Tuesday, the 29th of September 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo. See you next time.